And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast.
Hi, everybody. And happy Thanksgiving week. By the way, this podcast this week is brought to you by Toys R Us. Woohoo! The Toys R Us Black Friday sale continues through Saturday. Get huge deals on the hottest toys like the Leap Frog Leapster. 50% off. Exclusions apply. Visit Toys R Us for details. You guys ever have one of those Leap Frog things whenever your kids were little?
Oh, man. That's how my kid learned to count.
Yeah. Isn't that great? I love those things.
Yeah, I give a big shout out to my bud, Tony Farmer. He listens. It's nice to have, you know, I get too deep and have my stuff out in the middle of everything here, but he's one of the few people, probably two or three people that I can go to talk about anything. And so I sent him some really personal stuff this week and texted it to him, and he was just so great, just a great guy. And we're talking about that, and he's like, oh, by the way, I can't get the podcast song out of my head. I was like, yeah, it's good.
Hey, Patrick, Tony.
He's a good guy.
I'm going to give him a shout-out, too. Hi, Tony.
You're awesome, Tony.
I do want to address something because it's minor, but it does need to be addressed. We decorated the studio. We put a tree up and everything, and we did this on Monday. Monday, a couple days before Thanksgiving, and people absolutely ripped us, shredded us, went crazy. Talking about how we were skipping Thanksgiving and this and that and whatever. You know, if you listen to our show on the radio, you know we never skip Thanksgiving. We actually even talk about how it's a big deal to take this time at Thanksgiving and you know, make sure that we say thank you to God for the blessings of the last year. And, you know, just because we put a Christmas tree up and changed the color of the lights in the studio doesn't mean that we have skipped Thanksgiving. It just means that we're getting things ready because we were leaving early. We leave like Tuesday after the show and we're gone all the way through Monday. So when we walk in on Monday, when it's right in the middle of the Christmas season, how nice is it to walk into a pre-decorated studio?
Also, you should point out that, I mean, we spent all of 10 minutes doing it.
Yeah.
So we did it at the end of our day Monday when Bubba and I, and we were like, hey, you know what? Let's go ahead and do this while we're here. And I wasn't premeditated.
Yeah, it really wasn't anything we thought about. We just said, hey, let's go ahead and do this right now. So we went and pulled the tree out of the closet and everything. But yeah, people were so rude. I don't get it. You know, I don't.
We have a gay tree?
What do you mean? What?
He said we took it out of the closet. Out of the closet.
Yes,
it was a subtle
yes,
joke.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
But it was lost on Bubba. It was a good joke.
I totally missed that.
It wasn't a good joke.
It was a decent.
Do we tell the secret of it? If you're looking in the pictures that we posted on Facebook and all.
Don't tell the secrets.
Really? You don't want the secret out there?
I'm pretty sure it's okay. Go ahead.
It's okay. Yeah. Our Christmas tree is one of those little pop-up Christmas trees. It's about 4.5-5 feet tall. And
It's a 6 foot tree. That's 6 feet.
6 foot? Okay. Well, Patrick and I go to put it up this year, and we realized we left the base at the old studio last Christmas because we moved out in a hurry when we couldn't get out of the place fast enough.
Can we just go back over there and go, hey.
I think we left the base to our Christmas tree.
Hey, no. What up, y'all? Hey, hey, man, how y'all doing?
You happy? Anyway,
why y'all so gloom?
Yeah. So anyway,
why everybody walking around like you could get fired
at any moment?
So
it. So Patrick and I go to put the tree up, and we have the pole but not the stand, and we're like trying to figure out ways to wedge it up and do whatever. And finally, I said, "What if we zip tie it from the ceiling? If you look, it is zip tied from the rafters.
Yeah, it's hanging from the ceiling."
Now, but the awesome thing is that our 6 foot tree now looks like our 6 foot tree now looks like it is 9 foot because it's hidden behind the studio furniture. So when you look in, it looks like this ginormous tree.
Now, will you do a Christmas tree, Patrick, at the house?
Yes.
You do a real one?
No. I am allergic to trees.
Everything
in the house. Yeah, pretty much everything.
Patrick, by the way,
are you serious?
Yeah.
Patrick is allergic to seafood. He's a Cajun man who is allergic to seafood.
That's a new thing, though. I wasn't always allergic to seafood.
Were you a sickly child?
Mid-20s. Not really.
That breaks my heart, though, man. For you, not to be able to eat crawfish. What?
Oh, it's crab. I miss crab meat. Oh, think about it.
What's it do to you?
Oh, I get my neck swells up and I can't breathe. Did you swallow?
Did you just have some?
Oh, no.
Oh. No, that's just fat.
Wow.
That's love.
That's love. All right, fat boy. I see how you're playing.
That's nothing but love.
Bubba, what are you allergic to? Because you've been eating too much.
Bubba looks like he's allergic to light. So you're allergic to trees?
Allergic to, yeah. I'm allergic to grass. I'm allergic to cats and dogs.
Is it all trees? I mean, is it just like, I mean, is it pine or fir or spruce? I mean, if you can figure out which one you're not allergic to, you can put that kind of tree
up. It's not that important to me to put a real tree in my house. So
you get, it's like stuffy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I just put up a fake tree.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Bobby, you guys are doing, you've got a couple of trees up, don't you?
Yeah. Well, the idea was we had a artificial tree that we've used for several years, definitely got our money out of it, and it's seen a little wear and tear, so I was like, I'm gonna just bring that here to the studio, and that's what we're gonna use here. But we took this trip this past weekend, and when I got back, we had not only the old tree up, but also Stacy went out and bought a new tree, because obviously we needed a new one, so she put the new one in the nice area, and then took the old tree and just kind of made it really light, heavy, and put that over by the window. So it looks like we have a tree by the front window and all that kind of stuff. But if you look in, obviously there's no presents under it. It's just a decorative tree.
Remember when you were growing up and the first, like you went to a Christmas party for like the rich guy in town? Like the family that's got like lots of money? For me, it was the family who had invented, you remember back in the, I guess 90s, the blue jeans that looked like they had shot by a buckshot from a shotgun.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was invented. That technique was done in my hometown.
Did they really shoot them?
Yeah. Yeah, they actually really shot them. I don't know, man. This is all hearsay in high school. And so went to their party, and they had three trees.
Ooh.
And I was like,
three trees?
What?
What you need three trees for?
Man, that was crazy. That's like having more than one bathroom to me. Like, what?
You know, we went to the Christmas party for the lady that owned TNA Wrestling, Dixie. Remember that?
Yeah.
She
was a fun party.
She had like three, four Christmas trees. They all looked professionally decorated.
Because they probably were.
The craziest, the best Christmas tree I ever saw in somebody's house was in our engineer, Mike's house. Mike takes like a week off around this time of year and decorates his house for Thanksgiving. I mean, for Christmas, during Thanksgiving week. And he is all into lights. The Christmas tree, which was a real tree, had, I guess, 5,000 lights on it. It was unbelievable.
Have you seen what he's done so far this year?
In his house?
No, outside. Here's the outside walk-up of his house. Mike is probably one of the best decorators as far as lights and trees and stuff like that.
Look at all the lights on
that tree. He's got a tree outside.
I like the ones who do outside Christmas trees.
Yeah.
It's not, but it's, look how many lights. It's like every single little tiny
branch.
Nub of a branch. Yeah.
There's probably 10,000 lights on that tree alone. And then like every bit of shrubbery. And these aren't those nets. Like, I buy the nets to throw over the hedges and stuff. I go, okay, here's some lights, and they're all like in a perfect pattern. Yeah. No, these are legit, like individually strung.
Yeah. You know, 50 strings of lights.
And then he's got his little uplights in his landscaping, all making it even better. And look at that! Look! Here's a close up shot. Look at how many lights are in that tree.
That's outside.
So think about
what his pictures of his inside tree.
Yeah, indoors he had like an 8 foot tall Christmas tree.
Look at the backyard on the patio. They have these little lanterns on the patio, and then they went and put holly and mistletoe hanging from each one.
I've never seen anybody decorate their house. Now I've seen. Look, I grew up across the street from in my neighborhood in my town, New Iberia, Louisiana. There was 30,000 people. I lived directly across the street from that house. Everybody had that one house in the area they grew up in with like millions of lights.
Yeah.
The decorate that people came from all over the county
all night
to see,
Oh, here you go. Here you go. This is the big I'm sorry. Go on. Tell your story, and then I'll come back to this.
I was saying I was the Boudreaux.
Classic Bubba, by the way.
Oh, yeah. The Boudreaux that would decorate. I'm telling you, this guy would spend 2 weeks from the week before Thanksgiving to the week afterwards setting up lights, and it was incredible.
Do you have like a line of traffic out in front of your house?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I can remember my father. Oh, he hated those cars. Because people would come from all over to see this house. It was the house, you know, and they had their house, and they had the empty lot next to them because there was just an empty lot
wood,
next to
the plywood cutouts.
Oh, they had the plywood cutouts. They had a full life-size, I'm not kidding, life-size manger set with everybody, all three kings, shepherds, angels, donkeys, cows, the whole thing.
And they were real donkeys and real cows.
No, but they were life-size wood cutouts.
Yeah.
With lights on them. It was unbelievable. So it's hard for me to be impressed by somebody's lights until I went to Mike's house and saw his Christmas tree and went, how many lights are in that tree?
Yeah. I don't want to be that guy. I just can't. I just don't.
No, I pull my fake tree out of the attic. The lights are still on it from last year. Yeah. I didn't even take them off.
Here's a picture of the big tree. Now, I don't know they don't have the other tree up there. He just says the big tree. It's up and lit. Two for two. So he says there's two trees now. So yeah, there's the big tree. By the way, that is a 6-foot ladder that doesn't go halfway up the tree. Look at that. 6-foot ladder. So that's easily a 12 plus, maybe a 13 foot tree.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do for our tree.
Goodness.
Me and my neighbor are going to go out in the woods and just lop one down.
Really?
Really?
Yep.
Yep.
Awesome.
I don't mean to be Bubba with ADD here, but I just realized that last night when none of us were here, Mike came in to help to load some Christmas music into the system. I'm sure he walked in here and saw our tree and thought,
amateurs. That's what he thought.
Well, you know, our tree looks great from one
from
side.
From far away. From across the room, it looks
this
incredible.
Side, from 270 degrees of viewing, it's amazing. But when you get to that final little 90 degrees or whatever, the 30 degrees over here, it just kind of falls apart.
Nah, I think it looks fine. I think it looks really good. I like the changing the lights in here to green.
Oh, to the green and the red?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we did that for Autism Day. We went all blue. Obviously, usually we go with the red and blues because it's very America. But, yeah. Putting the green in where the red usually is. What are you doing, Patrick? You're taking a selfie?
Taking a picture of us doing the podcast with the tree. Look at the
podcast.
Tree.
Are you going to use this for your podcast thingy?
Yeah, I am.
Well, take it.
I did. It's on silent. I'm waiting for the sound, and I realized my phone's on silent.
Your camera looks weird. Whenever you take pictures, it's like you move, and it's like got these motion blur things.
Man. Yeah, man.
Does it take good pictures?
I mean, it's all right.
Doesn't it look like motion blur? Like, I always enjoyed like walking and watching the world through the lens of the video camera, whether it was one of those old ones or your cell phone or whatever. It's just interesting because everything that you see normally looks different through the camera monitor.
That's not bad.
Come on. Uh-huh.
I like old war photos.
Like, oh, that's nice.
Like World War II and one and
yeah.
Vietnam and stuff.
Yeah.
Like I don't know how we got there.
We were just talking about old pictures. Airplanes. You know what I really like is airplanes. You know what I really like is those websites that show like the old pictures from World War I and World War II and even the Civil War. And they superimpose them on top of the modern picture of what it is like today. You know, have you seen those?
I have seen that.
And then like they kind of take half of the picture and it's modern. The other half is the old stuff and it's very ghostish looking. Oh, it's crazy and cool looking.
Somebody had taken like pictures that their parents or grandparents had taken throughout Europe and they went back and found the exact spots and took the picture. Oh my goodness.
To show
crazy.
The difference.
Crazy to see how much the world has changed.
By the way, this is how you know Mike and Mark do too much on decorating. Giants, here's the little caption on their pictures. Giant C7 lights are in the Magnolia and look good to me.
Wait.
C7.
What does that mean?
C7 lights. That's like the size They know so much about decorating trees.
they know the size of the light.
C7, yeah.
Yeah, I knew C7 bulbs.
Of course, the C7 bulb. That's your classic Christmas tree bulb. Yeah.
That's crazy. Looks great. My house is so ghetto now looking at this.
I'm going to let my five-year-old daughter decorate the Christmas tree.
Oh, see,
however she wants.
That's what you're supposed to do. She can do, and like, let her do all the low stuff, and you do the high part. My favorite decoration, like, what's your, on your Christmas tree, what is your favorite ornament, Patrick?
Well, you see, I just have store-bought ornaments that
I got.
You don't
have, like, little story ornaments?
Remember, I'm, like, divorced dad, so, like, I went 3 years ago and just bought new, you know,
right.
Christmas ornaments so she'd have something to put on the tree. So I don't have any. Yeah.
Big D, what about you?
We have a mix of store-bought stuff and then some memory ones, but I honestly can't remember what the memory ones are anymore.
I have two that jump out at me every year. Whenever we pull them out of the boxes and we start to put them up on the tree, there are two ornaments that just leap out, and they're like, this is it. This is my life. One of them is... one time, whenever Olivia, my oldest, was a newborn, maybe like a year old, it was her first or second Christmas, and Stacy was boiling the pacifiers to make them, you know, to make them clean.
Sterile, yeah.
Yeah, sterile. So she's boiling the pacifiers, apparently had forgot about them, and boiled the water completely out of it. So the pacifiers melted into this giant pacifier clump on the bottom of the thing, but they still have, like, on one of them, it still had the ring that you could, you know, the little pacifier ring that they hold. So what I did is I turned that into a Christmas ornament that year.
That's so awesome.
She was going to throw it away, and I said, no, this is great.
Yeah.
So we hang it up on the tree every year, and we've done that for, God, I mean, Olivia is 13. So for 13 years now, that has been up on the tree, and it's so awesome.
That's
every time
the best.
I see it.
Yep.
And then the other favorite ornament is... When Stacy and I first met, it was August 1st of 96. That's right. Now you know how long we've been together. That was our first Christmas, and it was when I was living in that condo with Randy. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I got a tree. Randy didn't want a tree. I went out, and I'm like, I'm getting a tree, man. So I go out, and I buy this beautiful big tree, a real one, and we put it up. And so Stacy and I were running to Walmart to go and buy ornaments. And I stopped at like a little pharmacy place, like, I don't know, Walgreens, CVS, one of those places, Eckerd's at the time. I don't even know what they were. I stopped at one and pulled in. We were getting something. And then as we were leaving, they go, oh, sorry, hold on 1 second. And they gave us this little stuffed animal star, and it said free with purchase on it.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's like a goofy, dumb, it's like the dumbest ornament ever, but it was like a stuffed animal. And so that was our first couple's ornament. Before we even got to the store to buy anything, that was the first one. So every year we put that up there, and we left the tag on it, free with purchase. And it's been like there forever. Well, last Christmas, Stacy's mom was helping her decorate the tree and pulled that out of the box and tore the tag off. She went, oh, the tag's still on, just thinking she was doing us a favor, and
no.
She tore it off and threw it away. And Stacy didn't see it because her mom hung that one up on the tree. Well, when I got home, I was so sad. I was just distraught because that was my, you know, that was my favorite ornament. And the free with purchase was gone.
That sucks. What an awful story.
Well, I'm sorry to tell you that, but those are my two favorite ornaments. You know, I put those up, and it doesn't take away from that ornament, but it is kind of like it's...
Yeah, it does.
A little bit. But it's still like when I pull it out, I always think back to that first Christmas that we had together and all that.
Well, I guess now you can go, remember when you used to have a tag, and that'll just be part of the story.
Yeah.
It's like a scar on a person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The tag was so very mini pearl.
Hey, you guys want a meatball?
Yeah, are they ready?
Ooh, meatballs.
Well, you go get
meatballs.
The,
are
they ready? Ready?
Yeah, I'll go bring you a plate.
All right, here's the deal. Big D a couple days ago was like, "Hey, let's have a potluck for Thanksgiving."
And you guys were in.
Yeah, we were totally in on it. We're like, "Yeah, that sounds great," because we thought it was just...
I don't remember being in on that. By the way,
we thought it was just... I'm going to be very honest with you. I thought it was just a radio thing. He was just trying to do that, like, "Hey, let's act like we're having a potluck on the radio," and I kind of you know, didn't give it much thought. And then today we walk in, and the place smells like turkey meatballs. And he's like, hey, where's your stuff for the potluck? And we're Patrick and I are both like, what stuff? And he brought his turkey meatballs and his banana bread, which, by the way, was really good. I've never had banana bread without the nuts. Like, you know, you normally have the banana nut bread.
It was just bananas, just no banana nuts. Bread. And it was good. And it was a lot of calories that I didn't need.
And it was amazing. So Big D is now bringing in the crock pot with the turkey meatballs. Oh, yeah.
Oh, they are good. You think?
I haven't tried them yet.
Again, I apologize for not bringing in the dessert. I really thought. Oh, and forks. Holy cow. You're. Oh, nice.
I love how we're using coffee filters for plates because we ran out of paper plates.
Coffee filters and plastic forks. And have you tried one?
Not yet. I'm blowing on it because I know it's hot. Come on, go on.
That's what is it you said? It's jelly with it?
Uh-huh. Right. It's very sweet, but it's good.
It's really good. What's it's turkey meatballs, but what did you do? You have it in what? Barbecue sauce and jelly?
Grape jelly.
All you do.
It's good.
All you do is you take your meatballs, put them in the crock pot.
Mm-hmm.
Take
they're sticky.
A jar of grape jelly, dump it in. Like a big size, you know, regular size. And then you put in barbecue sauce.
And then just mix it up?
Yeah. And then just let it cook for about 3 hours. I had it on low and high. I'd go back and forth.
This is good.
They're almost too cooked because they're really soft.
Oh, but they're so good.
They're like falling apart.
That's good, though. I like that.
You want some chips?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, I do.
I got this big, giant bag of M&Ms that Maggie sent us.
Yeah.
Maggie's awesome. Thank you, Maggie. In case you ever hear this, thank you. You heard my gurgle?
I heard your gurgle.
I was like, thank you.
What? Oh, what kind of guy? Oh,
that's great.
What you got there, bub?
Got some chips, some potato chips out of my stash.
Oven baked.
A little Thanksgiving feast here on the podcast.
I want to say I'm thankful for you guys. I love y'all, you mean the world.
And I thought you were done.
No, I'm done.
I would like to thank God for everything. And a big one is my wife, because when I get all stressed out, she has the ability to realize when I need to be alone. You know what I mean? And that's a big deal. So thank you, Stacey, if you hear this, which I don't know if she listens to the podcast anymore. It's really... I think it's nice to be able to know that, you know, he needs some downtime. So she'll take over the kids and all that kind of stuff. I'm very appreciative of Patrick and you and Katie and everybody here in the building who has taken care of us and helped us in here. Ronnie and Bill and everybody. I mean, we have some great people that we've worked with. Mike, whom we were talking about, the Christmas dude. This equipment wouldn't work without Mike.
Uh-huh.
And that's true. He helped design this. My brother and dad, who put this giant conduit in that day, you know, the electrician kept calling in saying, I can't come in, I can't come in. So my brother and dad were visiting for Thanksgiving.
We had to go on the air for the first
Christmas.
Time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a crazy story. I mean, literally, we had to have the conduit put in, and we could not get the electrician out here. So my dad and brother went ahead and did. My brother is an electrician who just happened to be visiting. Yep. He never visits. So he did that, and it was like, wow, that was awesome. So we were able to actually get on the air on time because of that. I mean, everything just fell into place. So, God, thank you for the last year. I mean, everything from the beginning of the studios to the building to the company that we started, everything. I mean, it was all – anytime we needed something, God provided. It's crazy how well things fell together for us this year. I mean, you have to look back and be amazed and just say – this was the way it was supposed to be.
Yep.
There's never any question, never any doubt. So thank you, God.
Then we've launched a new show with Tracy Lawrence.
Yeah. I think we should talk about that too, because that's a big deal.
Patrick,
people ask me about it all the time.
Well, Patrick, what are you thankful for?
I'm I'm thankful for everything, man. I'm thankful for you too. And this awesome office. All of the people, man. Peter and Adam.
Yeah.
Doug and Bob and John and Paul and all of those guys. Jack Johnson. Everybody at Compass, you know, that's really, because we thought we made the right decision to partner with those guys.
Yeah.
But look at it 11 months later. Was that not the best call?
Yeah. My yeah, it goodness. Was. We had a couple other options. One of them that was really attractive on the surface that would have killed us if we'd have done it.
Mm-hmm.
Our company would have folded if we had taken the attractive offer.
Mm-hmm.
And
it goes back to you.
You go with your gut. And we met Peter, and there was something about him that we said, you know what? This guy's legit. He, you know, for us to be successful, he would have to be successful and vice versa on this one. So it worked out fantastic.
And what's so crazy is that I couldn't think of anyone more opposite than me and you. I mean, he's skinny.
He's a numbers guy.
Super smart with numbers. These are all things we're not.
And, but to have still to see through all that and him to see through all of our, because I'm sure we come off as flipping dynasty.
Yeah.
You know, country goofballs.
Aren't y'all supposed to have beards? you know, to him, we must come off that way. But it's just, man, these meatballs, they got garlic in them.
Oh, it's already good.
It's already cranking down.
Are there more?
No, but I know what you're saying.
Man, I got a whole crock pot in there.
I think I'm going to go get some more.
It's amazing that we were all able to come together and do this. It really is fascinating.
Doug and Adam, these guys work really hard for us. I love them. You're right. Now I got the burps.
Yeah, what did you put in them things?
There's
right?
just so many people that God has put in our lives over the last year that we didn't even know what we were walking into. And it's just been fantastic.
I put pot in these.
Oh, sweet. Podcast is about to get real good.
It's about to be the podcast.
I hope there's a podcast called The Podcast.
I'm sure there is.
Gotta be.
If there isn't, somebody needs to do it right now.
Somebody missed that pun. That is a shame.
Never done pot.
You know who I'm thankful for, or what I'm thankful for, is the company that we used to work for. Obviously, I'm thankful for them for the fact that we worked for them for 15 years or more each. But they made the decision easy for us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because if things had gone just a little bit differently, we still would have been faced with this choice. And
well, we were faced with this choice once before, and we were afraid to do it. We were afraid to go out on our own and start our own company, which we wanted to do, but it was just the guarantee of safe money is always more attractive than the risk, I think. And when all this kind of came down, we were like, you know, we want to make this move. We have the opportunity to make this move. The company's landscape was changing. We're like, it's now. Now or never. And we left.
They did some things that made the decision extremely easy for us. They did some things we were very unhappy with. And looking back on it, Aren't you glad they did that? Because, they could have kind of made it harder.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. If
they could have made it slightly more attractive to stay, not as attractive as leaving, but still, how do you give up the safe option for the...
Well, the option they came back with us whenever we were negotiating with, it was attractive, but we're like, you know, we could do that on our own and control our own destiny.
Yeah.
And it was...
And we have surpassed that.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, we have.
And nobody shows up and tells us not to do it our way.
Yeah. And Julie, by the way, at the old company, if somehow she hears this or if somebody is listening to it that knows Julie, she's amazing. She was a great person through this entire thing and continues to be a good friend of ours. And I really appreciate her friendship and mentorship as well.
I was thinking about, there's a phrase that I always think about. And maybe someone's listening to this and you're going through a really tough time in your business, with your job or whatever, your family or a relationship, and you want to make a move, but it's so scary to make that move because people, we like stable and this, we don't like change. But the phrase is, nothing changes if nothing changes. And that can go with all kinds of stuff. And if you're in a situation that, that you don't like, maybe you're in an abusive situation. Maybe your husband yells at you. Maybe he hits you. Maybe he, whatever. Then you keep thinking, well, he'll change. Well, nothing changes if nothing changes. You're going to still be in that. And it's as scary as it is to make that first step, sometimes that step is what can save your life. And I don't just mean physically, but can save your mental life. Yeah. You know, you're in a job that you hate. How many people go to jobs that they hate? I mean, I can't tell you the last time I drive in and going, I hate this. It doesn't even cross my mind.
Yeah.
I
remember at the old building with the old company, we all parked backwards in our parking spaces. And nobody ever understood that, but it was a symbolic thing because we had already put it behind us. We're like, you know what? This is not our future. This is our past. And I think about that now. You know, when I pull in to park, you guys park facing inwards. And I park backwards. And I know you're like, well, why do you do that still? I do that because I'm a prepper. And if something hits the fan, I want to be able to get out of here quickly.
It's like a cop.
I like to have that escape route ready to go. So don't look at my parking as disrespect towards the future. It is just looking towards my prepper side.
Never thought of it, but...
I thought this was pretty cool. Patrick, Big D and I, we had to drive. We had an event that we had to go to this past weekend. We're in one city with Dustin Lynch. We were in Killeen, right? We were in Temple, Texas. And we had to drive from Temple to Tyler, Texas, to Longview and because our flight was canceled. So we're trying to make it halfway across the state, you know, and all this. So I'm just digging around, trying to keep things going during the drive. And I saw this on Instagram, and I was like, wow. Talking about our old company, talking about the way they were controlling and just crazy because they would make decisions with no backing. They would just do stupid things and then come back 6 weeks later and go, hey, don't do that anymore. That's wrong. And then come back 6 weeks later and tell you, hey, why aren't you doing that?
God, it just had a flashback.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, those people were crazy. Anyway, I saw this and I took a screenshot of it. Don't base your decisions on the advice of those who don't have to deal with the results.
Yep.
Whatever you're doing, you know, don't let somebody who doesn't have to deal with the repercussions of the results make your decision for you. Because all they're going to do, just like that dude did at the old company, all they're going to do is come back and say, well, they're the problem. Look at this. And then you go, yeah, but we did that because of you telling us we had to do it that way.
Yeah.
It's just an awful, awful,
awful,
terrible, unhealthy environment.
I think we should say this again. If you have the opportunity, I know it's hard to do sometimes, but if you have the opportunity to work for yourself, do it. It's hard. It's very challenging. Monetarily, there are going to be days you go, I don't know how we're going to pay for this.
Look, not everybody's cut out to be their own boss. Some people just don't
And I'm not. I don't think Big D is either. However, we have great help. Like we were talking about some of the people in our lives, Peter and Katie, and even you, Patrick. I mean, you help us on a day-to-day running and operating of this thing. So, I mean, I say help us. You pretty much... you do run it. So, you know... we're not all cut out for it, but if you can find a way to do it, it is the most liberating thing you could do. Your life completely changes.
More than that, work with people you trust
and
work
love.
With people that you like. Yeah, you actually like to go work with. Like, sometimes you can't choose your coworkers, but you certainly can choose sometimes your employer. You know, and if you do work for somebody that you distrust, who isn't honest with you, that's an unhealthy situation, and you need to try your best to get out of it.
And what's the last thing? Work with people that have
integrity.
Integrity.
Yeah. My favorite story about, you know, the old days is near the end, we had to take a mandatory ethics test. Now, this is where we've got one foot out the door. Okay, we know our contract's up. We're leaving in a couple of months. All employees must take mandatory ethics training. And they're making us take all this stuff about how important it is not to lie or steal or be dishonest or hide the truth in any way. And I'm going, have they met any of our bosses? Seriously.
Yeah, the people who were making us take the test were the most unethical people you'll ever meet.
Yep. Yep.
You know who lying to our face is the one sending me the thing.
Yeah.
Telling me.
Sitting at his kitchen table as he lies to our faces.
Yeah, but you guys need to. We got to make sure you take the ethics training. We certify that the company taught you how to be ethical.
That one hurt. That one hurt me. So
the company did teach me how to be ethical because I could look at them and realize how not to treat people.
Yep. Do as we say and not as we do.
Here's the thing. They get caught up and they think that this is
important.
Thank you.
None of this.
It's important.
None of this
matters. This is all for that.
Work is not the end. Work is the means to get you to the end with your family.
All work is it lets you afford those times where you get to hang up that ornament on your tree from melted pacifiers from your kid. That is what it's for. Or it's to help other people in need. If you're doing charity work and or your church or whatever, that's what it's about. People, these corporate people who get caught up and they think that this is the game. They think that this is all part of it, and it's not.
Work is not life. Life should be your life.
Yep. And they're blinded by it. And what ends up happening is they burn everyone around them. And when it all goes away, there's no one left. And they sit there and they go...
It's like Ebenezer Scrooge.
They go, what happened? Well...
Why am I by myself? Why is no one at my funeral?
Where's my family? What happened to my wife? Why is my marriage gone? Why is my kid strung out on drugs and I don't hardly know them? They don't talk to me and, you know, they're doing all... It's because you spent all your time working. You weren't there when your family needed you. You weren't there when your wife was afraid because she heard something in the house and you weren't there to protect her. You weren't there when your kid got bullied at school and came home crying and wanting some help and protection to feel protected. You weren't there. You know why? Because you were working for a man in a corporate corporate environment, and you wanted to better yourself. And you think that by bettering yourself, you're bettering your family. You're not. You're just not.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Oh, wow.
I think
that's a little,
but it's true. It's true. I mean, there's nothing we could add to that.
That's all.
I don't know. There are two sides of that, man. Though there are,
the monetary you can provide better for your family.
It's a catch 22. It's a trap that many men fall into.
And we've all done it, though.
Oh yeah.
And I don't want to sound like we're high and mighty and above it.
No, I'm stuck in it, man. Yeah.
But. You just you have to have perspective.
I'm talking about extreme stuff.
Yeah, you have to have perspective.
About. You know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's not the normal stuff. Not the normal stuff of, hey, I got to work late tonight.
Yeah, we all have that.
Everyone does that.
Every single one of us, myself included, wants to make more money. You listening to this podcast, you want to make more money. However, you can't do it by neglecting
your
what's
family,
important.
Or... at the expense of someone else who you're going to burn. You just can't because, man, that stuff comes back and bites you. Karma.
God, how many people did we meet this weekend used to work with our former company that absolutely despise the people they used to work with?
How many times have you heard in corporate America the phrase, well, this is a business,
yeah,
not a charity, or this is a business, not a blah. You know what?
I get that. Well, you know, I'm going to share.
The business is profitable. It doesn't have to be super profitable, like at the expense of being unethical.
Can I share a story with you from the former company that was relayed to me this weekend? One of the guys that we were with, he was about to buy a house, and he had started working on that. Big D's like, yeah.
No, it's awful, dude.
3-month process to buy this house. And the whole time he was nervous because in radio the big joke is if you ever want to get fired, buy a house.
Right.
So this guy said, you know, he went to his management. He'd been with the company like 13 years. Hey, look, I'm about to buy a home. And I want to know if everything's cool here. I know that there's been rumors of cutbacks and this and that. And they're like, no, you're good, man. Go ahead. Press on. And then... He comes to him again in a couple weeks. Hey, just making sure everything's still good.
He had a contract.
Got a contract on the house. Okay, now we're good. So they go through the process, inspection time. Oh, no, we're still good. Go ahead, keep buying the house. He went to them the day he was going to close on the house. He said, I'm going to close. I just want to make sure one more time. The guy's like, dude, quit it. You're good.
To him three times, Patrick.
You're good. Go ahead, buy the house. He bought the house. 13 hours later.
No way.
Yep.
They fired him.
13 hours?
Hours.
First thing in the morning, the next morning, he comes in and they've got a box with all of his stuff. And they're like, thanks for all of your support. And he's like, well, wait, yesterday, you told me I could buy this house and I was good. Oh, well, we got blindsided with this one. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something. There is no such thing as being blindsided in corporate cutbacks. They have that stuff mapped out for months. They go to your local managers if you're in a corporate situation and they say, who is expendable? Who can you live without? And your manager, the person who said, yeah, go ahead and close on your house, buy your house, he's the one who decides who gets cut. Don't think it's corporate. It's the local manager because he has to figure out.
Sometimes it's done over that guy's head.
But still, I mean, okay, remember whenever we had somebody fired from our show and that was done on the local end because the guy was like, I don't know what this person does.
Yeah, that was because somebody did something they weren't supposed to do.
Yeah,
but again, it's never the same situation, but it's always something like that. The guys in Chicago that got fired, that found out about it on the air that they were going to lose
Twitter?
Their jobs. On Twitter. They're sitting on the air. They're reading on Twitter that their company is shutting the station down. What? And one of the guys says, I talked to these people, the bosses, in the hall this morning. They acted like everything was... Why don't you have the courage to just be a man about it and say, look, here's the deal. The money's not right. We have to shut down. Okay. Tell people.
It goes back to what Big D was talking about a minute ago. Work with people that you know have integrity and will shoot you straight. You know, I have worked with people that, you know, would warn you and say, hey, look, things are a little kooky here. If I were you, I would maybe, you know, kind of look around and see what's out there. I've worked for people like that. And you know what? I still love those people. I'm friends with them on Facebook. And I'm like, hey, how are you doing, man? What's going on? Because I respect that. I respect a manager who would say, hey, look, the station's going to be undergoing some changes. You might want to be, you know, looking around. I got your back here. It's coming from above. You know, just be ready.
Yep.
And I appreciate that. Patrick, I promise you, personally, if anything ever changes with us, you're going to know, and you're going to know as far out as possible.
I'm going to know before you know because I see the numbers.
That's true. You probably will know before we know. But yeah, so again, going back to it, if you have that opportunity, find a way to work for yourself, whatever it may be. Follow your passions. If you want to just have an Etsy store and make your money that way, well, that's fine. If you want to do whatever, that's fine. Just go for it. You know, don't be afraid. However, if you lose everything, don't come back at me and go, you told me not to be afraid.
I should have been afraid.
Find a way to work with good people. That's the number one thing. You will be happier. You will be healthier. And you're going to have a good Thanksgiving next year. You're going to come back to us and go, hey, guys, thanks.
Speaking of, we hope everyone has a great Thanksgiving. Bubba's got to get on the road to go travel.
I do. I'm actually 15 minutes late already.
Yeah, so you get out of here. And everyone have a great Thanksgiving and a great Christmas. But we'll talk to you before then.
Yeah, and I do want to say thanks to Toys R Us for sponsoring the podcast again this week. You guys are awesome. The Toys R Us Black Friday sale continues through Saturday. You can get huge deals on the hottest toys. Everybody loves toys, even me. I love toys. Matter of fact, they've got the Leapfrog Leapster 50% off. If you've got a kid who's ready to start learning and getting into all that, there you go, 50% off. Exclusions apply. Visit Toys R Us for all the details. Happy Thanksgiving, Patrick.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Big D.
Love y'all.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.